And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein on the Town.
Hey, welcome along. Happy New Year. Glad you could join us for an anthology of live performances from the various iterations of our show over the years. We have Oscar winners, we have Grammy winners, Tony winners, Emmy winners, top 10 recording artists, number one recording artists. But I thought we'd start down the non-award-winning, non-number one end of things with me. And one of those numbers that, if you're ever putting together a live stage show, is great just to walk out and get your feet wet with. It's from our Frank Lesser centenary salute 8 years ago. And I love this perfect little pop song. People can be very precious about verses these days. Lots of singers insist on doing the obscure verses to well-known songs. And a lot of great songs have verses that are not so great. But I make an exception for this one, the all-time greatest verse in the history of popular music.
There is no verse to this song, 'cause I don't wanna wait a moment too long to say that I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore, leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore, out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, melting your heart as stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Oh, come on, Jessica. What do you say?
Well, you know, Mark, I have got a business meeting in Shanghai. Maybe if we booked a junk round the Cape of Good Hope, I could do some teleconferencing from the bilge pump.
Ah, the romance of the seas. I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
A twist in the rudder and a rip in the sail, drifting and dreaming.
Toss the cell phone over the rail,
out on the briny,
just Jess
and Mark Steiny.
I'll be melting your heart of stone. Ship's departing, just me and Miss Martin.
You'll be melting my heart of stone.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China,
all to myself.
Off the continental shelf, all to alone.
That's Miss Jessica Martin taking time off from the West End stage and Doctor Who and comic books and all the other things she does to get shanghaied on an interminable ocean-going voyage with me and Kevin Amos and the band. I love Frank Lesser. And we'll have a bit more of him a little later. When Debbie Reynolds died, most of the tributes focused on Singin' in the Rain or her big number one hit, Tammy. But I found myself thinking of an ancient novelty song she did with Vermont's own Carlton Carpenter in a forgotten film called 2 Weeks with Love. Not a lot of people do it these days. It's about a monkey and a chimp. and ours is not an age for animal songs. But then I recalled a certain hit about singing your camel to bed, and if you can sing about camels, a couple of simians should be no problem whatsoever. So I invited along the great Maria Muldaur, who had a worldwide hit with that sultry, sensual camel song, Midnight at the Oasis.
I didn't understand why the song, a song about a camel, why is this taking the nation by storm? And I was in a cab in a rainy, horrible day in Chicago being taken to a radio interview.
Right.
And it was sleeting. It was just the ugliest day. And that song came on the radio. I didn't say anything. But the cab driver said, "Now that's just where I'd like to be, on a desert isle with a beautiful broad under the moonlight." And all of a sudden, I realized that's why everybody loves this song. It's like a little 3-minute Rudolph Valentino.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the end, every guy would like to be the Sheik of Araby.
Yeah. It's,
yeah, yeah. Well, so they are kind of connected in a way. Many at opposite ends of the 20th century, pretty much. Back in the 90s, General Colin Powell, when he was on the Chiefs of Staff, and he was asked why America had intervened militarily in Kuwait, but not in the Balkans, he said, "We do deserts, we don't do mountains." Maria does deserts, and she also does jungles. Maria Muldaur, Abba Dabba Honeymoon.
Lived a happy chimpanzee. He loved a monkey with a long tail. Lordy, how she loved him each night. And he'd find her there singing in the coconut tree. And the monkey gay at the break of day loved to hear his chimpie say, "Abba dabba 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 dabba," said the chimpie to the monk. "Abba dabba 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 dabba," said the monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away. All night long they were happy and gay, singing and swinging in a honky-tonky way. Abba dabba 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 dabba, neighbor means monk, I love but you. Abba dabba dabba in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too. Then the big bamboon one died in June. He married them and very soon they went upon their abba dabba honeymoon. The chimp. Abba dabba 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 dabba, said the chimpie to the monk. All night long they would chatter away. All night long they were happy and gay, singing and swinging in a honky-tonky way. Abba dabba 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 means monk, I love but you. Abba dabba dabba in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba dabba honeymoon.
Written by Arthur Fields and Walter Donovan in 1914, and still full of life a century later, Abba Dabba Honeymoon, as rendered by Maria Muldaur with Eric Harding and the Mark Stein Show Band. Last year, we took the show to Ottawa and did it live on stage at the Shaw Centre with special guest Tal Backman, who's Canadian musical royalty. He's the son of Randy Backman, of the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive, and he's had hits in his own right, like She's So High. But he knows I'm a little bit Squaresville, so he's kind enough to meet me halfway on some of the rockier stuff. Some years ago, he picked out a lovely elegiac Ray Davies song for the Kinks that he knew I'd love. And so this time I said, do two songs. I'll choose one of them and you choose one of them. This was his selection.
I had a great experience one night a couple of years ago with my Japanese girlfriend where we found ourselves in a small town in remote Japan. Nobody spoke English, and we found ourselves in a little bar, and the bar had a karaoke machine. So I was there, and we're kind of scrolling through. There's all kinds of Japanese artists and stuff. I don't know anything about them. All of a sudden comes up Paul McCartney, My Love. And I had sort of sworn a vow to myself that I would never actually sing a karaoke or anything. But prior to that, but, you know, it was the situation. And so we put it on, and it turned out to be this wonderful kind of moving, connective experience, because all of these elderly gentlemen in the bar, these Japanese guys who didn't speak a word of English, all knew the song phonetically.
Right.
And so we got finished the song, and everybody was clapping. Guys were shaking hands, and I said, "Well, let's sing it again." And so we sang it, 10 times or something, right? And each time we sang it, and the drinks were flowing, and let's do it one more time. And, and if you're an elderly Japanese gentleman, you can sing along too. Right? Yeah, here he is. See if I can do this one, Justin. And when I go away, I know my heart will stay with my love. It's understood. It's everywhere with my love. My love does it. When the cupboard's bare, I'll still find something there with my love. Oh, it's understood. It's in the hands of my love. My love does it. Chuck Strahl to sing that one next time.
Tal Bachman live on stage with Paul McCartney's My Love. And Chuck Strahl, for non-Canadians, Chuck Strahl is an Alberta politician. I think I just mentioned somewhere in the show that he'd once sung sometimes when we touch with another minister of the crown in an elevator I was sharing with them at the in the Rideau Club in Ottawa. Liza Minnelli's career goes all the way back to when she was 3 years old and played her real-life mum Judy Garland's on-screen daughter in the film In the Good Old Summertime. It's no secret there have been a few ups and downs since then, and sometimes the strains can show. I think one of Liza's very loveliest performances was one that took place just a couple of feet from the end of my nose. I'd asked her to sing a ballad I'd always liked from her very first Broadway show, Flora the Red Menace, in 1965. And it wasn't in her act. She hadn't sung it for decades. But she agreed to do it, and she delivered. It's written by her longtime pals John Kander and Fred Ebb, who went on to write Cabaret and Chicago and New York, New York. But back in 65, as Fred Ebb told me, the veteran director George Abbott didn't even want Liza to audition.
And the day she did audition, he had a very loud voice. And as she was introduced, they said, "Well, this is Liza Minnelli." And she started to walk across the stage, and he screamed practically, "Well, this is a waste of time." And I found out later, although it was no surprise to me, Liza heard him.
After the first reading, said, "I was wrong. You're going to be really good." And then we became really close friends, and we used to go dancing, and Johnny was remembering when he brought me my 17th birthday cake.
He came waltzing into rehearsal with this birthday cake. Mr. Abbott, who can sometimes be austere if he wants to, suddenly was a man in love. And I remember he turned to me once and said, "This is the most talented little girl I've ever worked with."
And yet, in the end, the show wasn't a commercial hit. Does that matter when it's kind of...
Well, I think you'd have to define hit. It may not have been a hit. It certainly wasn't a hit in terms of Broadway or commerce or et cetera. But for Johnny and me and Liza, it was a smash.
It was. Liza won the Tony Award for Best Actress. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, her 17th birthday. That's right. She was a teenage Tony winner and the youngest ever. Here's the song from that flop show I asked her to do with the composer John Kander at the piano. And there's a line early on where Liza says, "Do you hear anything?" And she glances at John, who shakes his head. And then she looked at me, and I realized I was supposed to shake my head too. So I did, and in the nick of time, because this is not a performance you'd want to interrupt and retake. Liza Minnelli.
What do you call a job at Garrett and Mellick's? What do you call a fashion illustrator? What do you call $50 a week? 50, 50, 50, 50. Oh, 50. I want to run. No, I don't. I want to scream. No, I don't. I want to sit down. I don't hear anything. You're supposed to hear bells, drums, trumpets. I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything?
Fireworks, well, roaring of the crowds. Maybe it's the strange new atmosphere way up here among the clouds. But I don't hear the drums, and I don't hear the band. The sounds I'm told such moments bring. Happiness comes in.
Liza Minnelli with a Candor and Ebb song I wish she'd sing more often. If you're wondering why I didn't leap in and go, that's Liza Minnelli right there with, well, I was all set to, but on that final plink, the lyricist Fred Ebb wandered out and he and Liza hugged, and it was so sweet and affectionate that you don't want the hack host getting in the way of that with any crass back announcement. And by the way, that was the composer, John Candor, accompanying Liza on the piano there. You probably know Rufus Wainwright and Martha Wainwright and their various kinfolk in the McGarrigle sisters and the Roches, but the patriarch of the clan is Loudon Wainwright III, a somewhat improbable patriarch, it has to be said. His kids don't always get along with him, and they've all written songs about their dad. Martha's was called Bloody Mother Bleeping Bleephole. I think I can get away with putting it like that. My own kid, when things were getting a bit teenagey between us, said, see, Dad, it could be worse. At least I've never written a song about you called Bloody Mother Bleeping Bleephole. And I said I'd be impressed by that. You know, the kid's got moxie. Anyway, Loudon Wainwright III and I have very little in common, except that, like me, he's lived over the years in America, Britain, and Canada. I don't think he's following me around, and I'm pretty sure I'm not following him around. But once in a while, we're both in the same country, and on one of those occasions, I asked him to sing a seasonal song I rather like, with some oddly un-American references in it to English raincoats and Australian cricketers.
I've spent a lot of the last 5 years in London. I have been here a lot, and some of the songs have English or London references to them. It's that decay thing that's happening here. I don't know, it just fits into my sensibilities.
What, the decay of Britain?
Yeah, everything's broken here. I love that.
So let's hear it.
It was colder than a witch's tit, colder than a polar bear's nose, colder than the shoulder of my old flame, colder than hell, heaven knows. Not quite as cold as you think it is when the wind chill factors blow. It's centigrade and Fahrenheit, it fell way below zero. The electric duvet was cranked way up to 10, the gas fire was on full blast. When I get the bills from both of those boards, I don't know if the money will last. I was fully clothed in my entire wardrobe, and I still couldn't feel my toes. Then the flat pipes burst, and we had another first. The water in the toilet bowl froze. We got helicopter rescues and freezing old ladies, and the choo-choo trains won't go. On the M4, there's a 5-mile tailback, a lorry's jackknifing in the snow. And it's summer down under in Australia. What gets under my skin? On the TV they show a suntan cricketer's ear just rubbing it in. And the same thing happened here last year, but you don't wanna know. In England people walk around wearing raincoats and running shoes in the snow. You don't wear no hat or gloves, it don't make no sense. You still think with that silly umbrella you can conquer all of the elements. It was the coldest day on record, in the coldest week in memory. It was the coldest month and the coldest year on the coldest night in history. But don't ask me how cold it was, you don't wanna know. But centigrade and Fahrenheit, it fell way below zero. I'm talking centigrade and Fahrenheit, it fell way below zero.
Loudon Wainwright III playing a song from his new album, Therapy.
It's been a brutal start to the year in my corner of northern New Hampshire, so I'm in a bit of a wintry mood, song-wise. Here's another one from the duo Everything But the Girl, who are, in fact, a girl and a boy, Tracy Thorn and Ben Watt. And they had some hits in Britain in the 80s, and then in the 90s, a monster smash called Missing, which got to number two on the Billboard Hot 100. Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men blocked them from the top spot. But they did get to number one in Canada, Germany, Italy, Denmark, all over the map. Missing was an electronica dance type thing. This song they did live for me on the radio is non-electronica.
And it's one of the few songs I've actually written away from home. I mean, most of the stuff I write once I get back into the confines of the house again and I can sort of disentangle my notebooks and stuff, but I actually wrote this in Japan, although it has absolutely nothing to do with Japan at all.
What's it called?
It's a song called Frozen River.
Which has got nothing to do with Japan.
There's no
I
frozen
think.
Rivers in Japan.
Right, okay, let's hear the song.
Sure.
Sometimes I can get so down, it seems nothing much is gonna turn me around. They could freeze the brook outside my home, but it's only small, not like the Hudson, where I'd be clean away, the only one. Down through into trees, on a smooth run, on a frozen river.
Thank you.
rages. Where I stand in the loop, having shoved the car, just hearing your wonder like a frozen river, like a frozen river.
Everything But the Girl with Frozen River. In the 21st century, Ben Watt and Tracy Thorn have basically done everything but the girl. Solo work, column writing, disc jockeying, but I have to say I rather miss the sound of them together. Enough with the wintry songs. Let's warm it up with Robert Davi. He's a Bond villain. He was the bad guy battling 007 and planning world domination in License to Kill. But he's a Bond villain who sings, which Blofeld and Dr. No never did. And it was Frank Sinatra who was the first to cast Robert as a villain in a movie Contract on Cherry Street. And they used to talk about singing technique together.
He was the first one to bring bel canto to the popular music. He had the portamento, the fluid line, the singing on consonants. I mean, there was a lot that he was an avid, and we spoke a lot about the music and about the vocal techniques. And even in the 50s with Robert Merrill, who was a great American baritone,
we'd do
workshops with him
or
Pavarotti.
He
was always looking...
We've had bel canto and portamento, and they're two of my favorite tenors. I love them.
You got the great Irish tenors.
You're going to do a Cole Porter song. This song is 79 years old, and the story is that when Cole Porter, who had everything, he had a magnificent life, he was a fabulous socialite. He glided around the world. He was wealthy. He had everything. And one day in 1938, he had a terrible horse accident. He was out riding. He had an accident. The horse rolled on him and crushed his legs. And as he lay there waiting for someone to find him in the woods, it is said that he wrote the lyric to this song. And none of us will know whether that is true or just one of those too-good-to-be-true anecdotes. But on Valentine's Day, this is the great romantic question whenever you meet someone. Is it just a moment of infatuation, or is it at long last love? Robert Davi.
Thank you.
Is it an earthquake or simply a shock? Is it that good turtle soup or is it merely the mock? Is it the cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel the real McCoy? Is it for all time or simply a lark? Is this Granada I see or only Asbury Park? Is it a fancy not worth thinking of? Or is it at long last love? Is it an earthquake or simply a shock? Is it that good turtle soup or is it merely the mock? Is it the cocktail, this feeling of joy, what I feel, the real McCoy. Is it for all time or simply a lark? Is this Granada I see or only Asbury Park? Is it a fancy not worth thinking of, or is it at long? For the band.
Robert Darvey, swinging with the Mark Steyn Show Band. Cheryl Benteen is a 12-time Grammy winner, but once you're into double figures, who keeps counting? She's known for her work with the great vocal group of our time, the Manhattan Transfer, but when she swung by the Mark Steyn Show, it was to do her terrific solo turn on a favourite song from the 70s.
It's just a real beautiful slinky melody for a singer.
Yeah.
So, and the lyrics are just stunning.
Yeah.
If you stop and listen to the lyric.
No.
Like
no.
The opening line is a question.
Yeah.
Which, how many tunes can do that?
You know? No.
So it's it's a very wonderful song.
No,
I'd love
and,
to do it.
And I think you're right there. I think a lot of the great songs open with questions in a way because love is always a question, the ultimate question. But this is a terrific version. Normally, I'd sit down and Cheryl would stand up and sing, but instead Cheryl's going to sing sitting down, and I'm going to, as I said a couple of minutes ago, I'm going to try and help out on a little of the shimmering Latin rhythms and do the old Carmen Miranda routine. So this is Cheryl Benteen with a marvelously old Russell song, This Masquerade.
Lost. Thank you.
thoughts of leaving disappear every time I see your eyes. No matter how hard I try, hard to understand the reason that we carry on this way. We're lost in this masquerade.
Cheryl Benteen, Lost in This Masquerade. Cheryl has a new album just out of Stephen Sondheim songs, and I can blow a bit hot and cold on Sondheim, but she does some really terrific and creative arrangements and performances of these songs. So check that out. It's Cheryl's new album. I don't think I'm giving anything away when I say that Cheryl ran that number down with the band before the show began. Sometimes you're just chit-chatting, and a guest will simply pick up the instrument and illustrate the point musically. Larry Adler is one of the greatest harmonica players of all time. Vaughan Williams wrote an orchestral composition for him. George Gershwin cooked up an arrangement for him, and he played with Elton John, Sting, Meatloaf. I wanted to talk to him about a long-dead song from a long-dead show, Smiles, which he was briefly in on Broadway in 1930. And you'll notice that his recollection of the leading man has certain topical resonances.
I didn't think I was going to get a solo because they originally had me doing a duet with Fred Astaire, the Young Man of Manhattan number, and in Boston, I was given a solo. I was supposed to be sitting on a wardrobe trunk and dressed as a ragamuffin, which they always did. They always dressed me as a ragamuffin because that was the stereotype of the mouth organ player. And I played this song, I'm Glad I Waited, and it used to stop the show every night. And sometime during the Boston run, Ziegfeld sent for me and he told me that Vincent Eumanns, the composer, was distressed because his ballad in the first act was never heard again, and he thought it should be reprised. Now, my solo was in the second act, so Ziegfeld suggested to me that instead of I'm Glad I Waited, I do the ballad so that Vincent Eumanns could get his ballad reprised and played in the second act. And I said something like, well, Mr. Ziegfeld, you're the boss, and if you want me to do it, I'll do it, but my number's stopping the show. And why change it? Because it's just my opinion, but I think that ballad is a rather dreary tune. And Ziegfeld said, well, suit yourself, kid. I just wanted to make Vince happy. So I kept my solo in, I'm Glad I Waited, and turned down the reprise, which was a song called Time on My Hands, and it shows my musical judgment.
Now, Time on My Hands you turned down. I'm Glad I Waited. Was that sung by Marilyn Miller elsewhere?
I think it was sung between Paul Gregory, who was the male lead in the show. He had a habit, by the way, of sitting naked in his dressing room, a sort of pre-prohibition flasher, and as the girls would pass, he'd call to them, and they'd look in, and there he was sitting naked. And no one ever chided him for or disciplined him in any way. He kept that up all through the run of the show, which wasn't very long anyway. But I think it was Paul Gregory and Marilyn Miller who did I'm Glad I Waited.
And what kind of a song was it? Time in My Hands, you said, was a pretty dreary ballad. What kind of song was that?
It was a bright... do you want me to play a few bars of it?
Well, have you...
As you know, that made every hit parade in the world.
So it was just a run-of-the-mill
yes,
rhythm number.
Completely.
Yes,
completely. I mean, most mills wouldn't have even let it run.
Larry hadn't played that song in over half a century, but he just picked up the mouth organ and took off. As you can tell, he was a great anecdotalist and something of a name dropper. He was going to call his autobiography Name Drops Keep Falling on My Head. Which would have been much better than whatever title they eventually used for it. He was a feisty guy. The only person I ever saw him scared of was Sinead O'Connor. But I'll save that one for another day. Here's a similar moment with Paul Simon. Interviewers tend to say, oh, Paul Simon's very difficult. Not with me, he wasn't. He was a pussycat. I've interviewed him 3 or 4 times and he's always been a delight. For example, I asked him, what was the first song he ever wrote? And instead of just telling me the title of it, he picked up his guitar.
The first song that we sang was called The Girl For Me. It went like this. The girl for me is standing there. That's the one. Flowers in her hair. I'll always love her, and I know she'll be true. She'll be true.
I had a great temptation to join in on the sort of do bass line. But those sort of songs and the songs you wrote in the couple of years following that, things like The Lone Teen Ranger, they had great novelty ideas, a kind of clever little gimmick in them.
Well, by the time this song I wrote when I was 13 years old, and it's probably a real song. I mean, I'm probably thinking of a girl.
Paul Simon told me that The Girl For Me proved quite popular when he was at school, and eventually some guy came to him and offered to buy it from him for $25, which is a lot to a 13-year-old in the 1950s. But Art Garfunkel's dad smelled something fishy and was most resistant and said that if Paul needed the money, he'd buy it from him for $30, which, as Paul said to me, would have been a whole different kind of trouble down the road. I promised you another Frank Lesser song. Did you know, by the way, that Paul Simon has a Frank Lesser songbook on his desk in his office at the Brill Building? He told me, he was a short Jewish guy just like me. Here's a Frank Lesser song that was a big hit round about the time Paul Simon wrote The Girl For Me. Dorothée Berryman is the star of the film Le Déclin de l'Empire Américain and its Oscar-winning sequel Les Invasions Barbares. And Monique Fauteuil has sung with everyone from the great Charles Trenet, composer of La Mer and Boom, to Quebec's boffo progressive rock band Harmonium, who have 3 albums in Canada's all-time top 100 albums. But for some reason, I'm the only guy who ever asks Monique and Dorothée to sing together. So here they are with a song from the show Frank Lesser wrote after Guys and Dolls. And if you were anywhere in the mid-50s, you'll know this song because practically every male vocal quartet did it at one time or another. The Four Lads, the Four This, the Four That. Unfortunately, our budget couldn't run to Four Lads, so we've got 2 women instead. It's some pay equity thing. I don't know.
take it up with the musicians' union. I don't know how that worked out. But this is a rare feminized version of a song you normally associate with male quartets. And ladies, I always love to hear Monique and Dorothy singing together. Do you need me to do anything in this song?
Oh no, you just need to walk up and down.
You mean like this?
Mark, could you just try to walk in the right key?
Oh.
Standing on the corner, watching all the guys go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the guys go by. Sister, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Than standing on the corner, watching all the guys, watching all the guys, watching all the guys go by. I'm the cat that got the cream. Haven't got a guy, but I can dream.
Haven't got a guy, but I can wish. So I take me down to Main Street,
and that's where I select my imaginary dish. Standing on the corner, watching all the guys go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the guys the eye.
Sister, if you've got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try.
Try standing on the corner, watching all the guys, watching all the guys, watching all the guys go by. Sister, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, or for that woo look in your eye. You're only standing on the corner, watching all the guys, watching all the guys, watching all the guys go by.
Monique Fauteuil and Dorothy Berryman standing on the corner watching all the guys go by. My friend Patsy Gallant is Canada's disco queen, and if you were almost anywhere in the British Commonwealth or continental Europe in the summer of 77, you'll know her worldwide hit From New York to LA. But Patsy's first love is Edith Piaf. These days everyone sings Piaf, and a lot of them not very well. But Patsy does it better than anyone. And this song was by way of special request from me, a snapshot of a day in Paris.
When I sing those words and I lived in Paris, yeah. I see Paris.
Yeah, and it's just like a... So you know all the places that this is song mm-hmm. is... It's a... The low bit of the song, whatever it is, sous le pont de Bercy. You've actually been to yes. le pont de Bercy.
Yes, and les badauds, the people that are on the streets that have no place to live.
Yeah.
But they seem to fit so well anyway. Even in Paris, they look good.
Right, right. And it's like un philosophe assis, which
oui,
means a sitting philosopher.
Absolutely.
And you have you seen a sitting philosopher under the...
No, I haven't. But these Badauds thinks that they okay. are philosophers.
Yeah, yeah. Every Badaud is un philosophe
yeah,
in Paris.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, this is a terrific, really moves this song. It's got enough great melodic material in it for about three or four songs.
Really?
I think so. But you do this better than anyone, Patsy. Sous le ciel de Paris, under the skies of Paris, Patsy Galang.
Sous le ciel de Paris s'envole une chanson. Elle est née d'aujourd'hui dans le cœur d'un garçon. Sous le ciel de Paris marchent des amoureux. Leur bonheur se construit sur un air fait pour eux. Sous le pont de Bercy, un philosophe assis, des musiciens, quelques ballots et des gens par milliers. Sous le ciel de Paris jusqu'au soir enchanté, l'hymne d'un peuple ébris de sa vieille cité. Près de Notre-Dame, parfois couve un drame. Oui, mais à Paname, tout peut s'arranger. Quelques rayons du ciel d'été, l'accordéon de marinière, l'espoir fleurit au ciel de Paris. Sous le ciel de Paris coule un fleuve joyeux. Il endort dans la nuit les clochards et les gueux. Sous le ciel de Paris les oiseaux du bon Dieu viennent du monde entier pour bavarder entre eux. Et le ciel de Paris a son secret pour lui. Depuis 20 siècles, il était pris de la grille de Saint-Louis. Quand elle lui sourit, il met son habit bleu. Quand il pleut sur Paris, c'est qu'il est malheureux. Quand il est trop jaloux de ses millions d'amants, il fait gronder sur eux son tonnerre éclatant. Mais le ciel de Paris n'est pas longtemps cruel. Pour se faire pardonner, il offre un arc-en-ciel. Paris à minuit, Paris, mon Paris, oh Paris, 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 Paris.
Voilà.
Patsy Galang.
Merci,
and,
Marc. Merci beaucoup.
Oh, merci,
merci
Patsy.
Merci à toi.
And that is exclusive to this show, that little ending there. They just worked that up about 20 minutes ago in rehearsal.
Indeed. Patsy Galang with the Stein Show Band and one of the great humming hits ever written, Sous le ciel de Paris. Thank you to Patsy and all my guests over all these years. We always like to finish these compilation shows with something new and unheard. I sang this song to close out one of these shows, I think it was 6 or 7 years back, with just Kevin Amos at the piano. But I thought we'd try it with a different kind of pianist, Eric Harding, and throw in a guitar from John Keary and see how it goes. Sometimes when you get the right arrangement, you never want to do a song any other way again. And sometimes there are songs you enjoy doing a little differently every time, and this is one of the latter type for me. It's by Ray Noble, composer, lyricist, band leader, and actor. He played the silly upper-class Englishman in a lot of Hollywood movies and radio shows. But this is his uber standard, one of the half dozen that will be left when 99.99% of the songbook has fallen away. We will still have this one. Eric will play us in. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go. The very thought of you and I forget to do. The little ordinary things everyone ought to do. I'm in a kind of daydream, happy as a king. And foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you. Just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love,
It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. A song from me to you, words and music by Ray Noble. And my thanks to Eric Harding at the piano and John Geary on guitar. And we will see you next time, or as Ray Noble would say, good night, sweetheart.
Mark Stein on the Town is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. All rights reserved.